Isaiah 55. It's the opening few verses. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. Have you heard these words today, earlier? That's about half a dozen times. The words, just use that word, listen. Listen. Listen to me. And eat what is good. Guess what we can eat and is good. Listening to God's word. God's word is good. We need to listen to it and feed on it. That's what it's saying, isn't it? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you want to speak to us, Lord. Thank you. Even just reading your word just now, Lord, is sufficient for us to go away and feed on the richest affair, because it's available to us. It's so to hand. Help us, Lord, to listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, you can go home after that. Really? But I just want to focus on one verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Now, much of what I have to share tonight comes out of prompted by a reading in Oswald Chambers, and it just hasn't gone away. So I've just been working on that. And last Sunday morning's message just confirmed that God was speaking to me, and I trust to all of us. And the heart of what David was saying last week was that he was speaking about John the Baptist, if you remember. And he was saying that the hand of the Lord was with him. And then David was suggesting the kind of things we would expect if the hand of the Lord's with us. You know, usually good stuff, you know. But John the Baptist, and equally Jesus, didn't have an easy time. Yet we know the hand of the Lord was with them. We conclude that John and Jesus fully fulfilled God's purposes in their days through their simple obedience. So I want to consider, what is success in Christian living from God's perspective and from ours? Beginning from our perspective, or what is a successful Christian life? And our perspective on that usually looks something like this. Our desire to please God and obey him results in him bringing us to a place or an event that proves our obedience. So obedience is a process that enables us, God, to get somewhere that we want to go. That's our perspective. Would you agree generally that's our perspective on life, on Christian living? And so we exercise all our spiritual disciplines and do all that we can so that God can take us where we feel he might want to take us. And so we look to our Bibles, we look to prayer, we look to fellowship, we look to witnessing. And we say to ourselves something like, when I've shown God that I'm faithful as a student of his word, he may lead me to do something like maybe teach others in the future. And so I read in the hope of doing something in the future. And when I'm faithful in prayer, then he will answer my prayers and others may take note and follow my example. Again, an end point in mind. When I'm faithful in investing myself in fellowship with others, I can be an example to others, and others may be drawn into fellowship as well. If I'm faithful in witnessing, then people will come to faith. And that's wonderful. Now, all these things are great, wonderful. And I would encourage you to keep faithful. Do you remember the discipleship wheel? Bible, prayer, witnessing, fellowship. Great stuff. But the important thing is not to do these with the wrong motives and the wrong thinking and the wrong aim or dream behind it. The idea that obedience will lead to future success in God's purposes isn't God's plan for our life. That's not God's plan for our life. And who wants God's plan for their lives? Who wants God's purpose to be filled in their life? Our spiritual disciplines are important. Their faithfulness to God in fellowship, in prayer, and so on. All these things are wonderful, exercised to help us, but also not to make them less potent than they can be by aiming them at something ahead of us. Our dreams of success must not stand in the place of God's purpose for us. God's purpose could be quite different from our dreams and what we believe God is leading us to. As we were reminded on Sunday, there could be trouble ahead. And God will allow these things to fulfill his purpose, to have his purpose realized in our lives, not necessarily out of these things, but within them as well. And that may be God's plan for us. He wants to be with us in and through the storms of life. So we must continually thinking about something ahead of us. And we discipline ourselves. We exercise obedience in order to get there. So what's God's perspective? What is success in his eyes? And when his purpose is realized in us? Well, let's remind ourselves of that verse again. It says, my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts, nor my ways, your ways. His purpose for us is to take us, not to take us to a place or a destination ahead, but he wants to take us to a now attitude of heart. God is much more interested in where you are right now and your attitude towards him than what your plans are for him in the days to come. We're often so focused on being faithful and utilizing our gifts and aiming at an outcome ahead. We can't give God anything anyway. All these things are given to us, but we can give him our heart, our submitted heart. That's God's aim for us, to have our hearts available to him. Your willing heart is your utmost and his highest for you. Do you know that? Your willing heart is God's best from his perspective. Just being wholly available to him, wanting his will. It's this that will enable you to realize the potential of every moment of your life. A closer relationship and a constant fellowship, a place of obedience and dependence. This is his end for you. Doesn't take the load off you a little bit? Well, you know, all God wants is your heart, your readiness, your willingness to do what he wants. Not doing what he wants, but willing to do what he wants. That's why he said, my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. And here's tonight's key thought. Know that you're closer to God's best for you than you first thought. You know? Often we live in the light of something to come. You know, we say the best is yet to come, but the best is here and now, if you're willing. His best for you is a willing heart which is set on things above, not things ahead. Things above are available to us right now. The resources of heaven are available to us right now. We can draw on them. The things of ahead, we can't touch. They can't reach us. They can't do anything for us. We need to live in the present and draw on the resources of God right now. Don't go past your best by constantly dreaming of what could be. People waste their life thinking about what could be instead of being available, open now to what God is saying. The chief end of men, we are told, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. How do we best glorify God? By loving him and being willing for his will to be worked out in our life. That is his end, not the destination. The process actually is his end. Not the getting to somewhere with God, but God getting somewhere with you. When I can say, Lord, I'm here for you, I've actually fulfilled his purpose. When you're at that place of saying, Lord, here I am, wholly available to you, your purpose is fulfilled. That's what God wanted all the time for you, your readiness to do his will. That's why Jesus said to his disciples when they came to him at the well in John chapter 4, if you remember, he's speaking to the Samaritan woman, and the disciples thought he must be starving, and, you know, what about some food? And he said, hey, I have food that you don't know anything about. To do the will of him who sent me. Now, in the now. We know we can't do anything without him, don't we? We know that through experience. And so why is our focus then on the things that we do rather than having him close at hand, being close to him, just being with him, available to him? What marked Jesus's ministry and life and endorsed it was his obedience. And if you remember, one of the simplest early aspects of his obedience was his baptism, just simply obeying. And guess what happened at the baptism? The joy of God just broke through the heavens and said, you are my son who I love. With you I'm well pleased. Don't wait for the end to hear God, good and faithful servant. Hear it now. You're my child, and I love you. With you, with your willing heart, I'm well pleased. You've arrived. As soon as you're ready to say, here I am, send me, you've arrived in God's purposes. Does that make sense? Your wanting God's will is God's will for your life. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He wants us to be in a happy state of constant dependence on him. That is what will keep us centered and hold us in the storms of life. When I say, here I am for you, he'll echo back and say, here I am with you. On the waves and in the stillness, know that I'm here. That is successful Christian living. So I want to give Oswald Chambers the credit for a lot of this. So I'll read the actual devotion that I read. We're apt to imagine that if Jesus Christ constrains us and we obey him, he will lead us to great success. We must never put our dreams of success as God's purpose for us. His purpose may be exactly the opposite. We have an idea that God is leading us to a particular end, a desired goal. He is not. The question of getting to a particular end is a mere incident. What we call the process, God calls the end. What is my dream of God's purpose? His purpose is that I depend on Him and on His power now. If I can stay in the middle of turmoil, calm and unperplexed, that is the end of the purpose of God. God is not working towards a particular finish. His end is the process. That I see Him walking on the waves. No sure insight, no success, no goal, just the absolute certainty that all is well, because I see Him walking on the sea. It is the process, not the end, which is glorifying to God. God's training us is for now, not presently. His purpose is for this minute, not for something in the future. We have nothing to do with the afterwards of obedience. We get wrong when we think of the afterwards. What men call training and preparation, God calls the end. God's end is to enable me to see that He can walk on the chaos of my life just now. If we have a further end in view, we do not pay sufficient attention to the immediate present. If we realize that obedience is the end, then each moment as it comes is precious. Amen. As you can pray out of that. Lord Jesus, thank You that obedience marked Your life, Lord. And that carried Your Father's approval at each moment. And You were able to utilize every moment to the full because You were there, ready to do His will. Well, we thank You, for example. Help us, Lord, to be a now ready people, wanting to do Your will. So that, Lord, we can be at that place where You want us to be. You want to get a hold of us there. That's where You want us to be, ready to do Your will. Thank You, Jesus, that You're the one who, even at the most traumatic time in your life, was able to say, Father, not my will, but Your will be done. And as Philippians reminds us, that You, being found in appearance as a man, You humbled Yourself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Lord, we want to be people who are successful in Your eyes, who are pleasing to You, those You can say, You are my child, You are my son, You are my daughter, whom I love. With You, I'm well pleased now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.